The simplest messages you can ever hear.
In the third chapter of Matthew. Appreciate each one that's here, each visitor, each one that. Hey man, appreciate you, Ben. I ain't got no notes. I just jotted down a couple of scriptures that I wanted to look over. Well, God's been good to us. You know, this ain't about me today. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I mean, that's why we're here. And if I thought this was the last body I ever had, I'd just be worried to death. But I know I got a new body. I know this is passing away, and I got a better place to go. Praise His holy name for it. I do want to tell y'all this. I had a hiccup since Wednesday, and last night, old brother Jimmy Farmer called me the second time. Jimmy Farmer from up in Galax. He called me and he said, he's real quiet spoken. He said, how's them hiccups? I said, they still are, Jimmy. He said, we're going to pray for them one more time. And he said, hiccups be gone in the name of Jesus. Amen. I went on to bed hiccuping. I woke up this morning. I've not had hiccups today. I praise the Lord for it. God knows what He needs. And my heart's desire was to preach the gospel. And I told the doctor, he wasn't real humorous, but he's a fine fellow, a good doctor. And I told him, I said, my heart's desire is to preach and let the rest go. I want to preach Sunday. Do me a good job, Doc. I want to preach Sunday. He never would answer me either way, whether I could or whether I couldn't. He left that up to me. And I didn't tell him how to operate. Amen. So we got along great. Amen. So we got along great. Yeah. It's amazing how God can remove fear. Man, I don't understand it, but God can remove fear.
Amen.
We're on, Jared, third chapter of Matthew. Go to the Lord in prayer. Father, it's a privilege to be here today, God. My mind's not working right. I ask you, God, to just touch in a mighty way. God, that this message would go out just exactly like it did, God, when it was written down. When old John the Baptist come out of the wilderness preaching, God, I ask you to use it, get glory out of it, God, and we'll not fail to praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Third chapter of Matthew, and it said, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And he said, repent ye. And that really stuck on my mind. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we can go back, and scholars has looked at hand in all different aspects of life. But I'm going to tell you, honey, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We could be dead today. Amen. Going on standing before God tomorrow. So we need to repent. And I see America today. I've even heard it said in some organizations that repented when they got saved and then didn't need to repent no more. But I'm going to tell you, my brother Paul repented daily. My brother Paul died out daily. My brother Paul, he went to an old-fashioned altar of God and said, forgive me where I've come short, where I've failed you. So I'm not the man that Paul was. I'm not the man that many of the writers was. But I'm glad, glory to God, God gave me a little place, a little space in the kingdom of heaven to preach His holy word, to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. And He said He gave me a place to repent. And I found out 51 years ago at an old-fashioned altar in my bathroom, hanging around the commode, I repented of my sins. And there's something, glory to God, for us to do. And I want us to look at what the Word said. Glory to God. He said, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, that's Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his path straight. And the same John had his rhema of camel's hair, and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Honey, if this wasn't important how he was dressed, glory to God, it wouldn't have been written down. He said his raiment was camel's hair and a leather girdle about his waist, honey, and his food was locust and wild honey. And I don't know if you've ever been around a camel or not, but a camel is one of the smelliest, stinkiest animals that I've ever been around. And I thought about, I don't know if you've ever been in the wilderness or not, but the wilderness is a dry place. There ain't too many places to take a bath. So I'm here to tell you today, I can picture him in my mind, honey, with this camel's hair about him, glory to God, and this leather girdle about him, and he only had locusts and wild honey to eat. But I can see him, glory to God, with an old long beard, maybe not as clean as mine this morning, maybe not as clean as some others, but he had a calling on him from God, and he come through the wilderness, honey, and you and I have got a calling on us from God. We can go back into Isaiah 40 and read the Word of God, and Isaiah had done prophesied 700 and some years before that, honey, after the children of Israel come out of bondage, after, glory to God, they got out of Babylon, and he told us that there was going to be another way. He said there's one coming, glory to God, named John out of the wilderness, and Jesus ain't got here yet, but he's preaching, prepare you the way of the Lord, and make his path straight. And I thought about in our churches today, honey, we need to be preparing to meet God. I thought about, honey, every vacation you go on, are you prepared to go on vacation? And maybe some of you were in Boy Scouts. I know Kobe is there. And I thought about Kobe, and glory to God. Our motto in the Boy Scouts was prepare to meet God. Prepare, be prepared. When you go into the woods or into the wilderness to camp, make sure you've got enough to eat. Make sure you've got enough water to drink. Make sure you've got exactly what you need to finish this little hike or this trip. And I'm going to tell you something today, honey. I'm afraid American churches ain't got enough to make the trip. We need to find God about us. We need to lay down some fleshly lust. We need to stand up for the glory of God and invite Jesus back into our lives. We don't just need to take one bath and forget about it. We need to bathe in the Holy Ghost fire, God. That God can move upon us. That God can use us. That God can sanctify us. And I thought about a little Kobe there this morning as he come down and knelt beside me. All of his life, all he's ever known is a hop and a little crippled body. But I've known a good body, honey. I need to praise God for the years gone by. That God give me that I can go and that I can work. That I can stand up for the glory of God. And give me a desire to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something today, honey. When it's going good at your house, we don't do much preparing. But when we get ready to go in the hospital, when we get ready to go on a trip, or when we get bad news on the telephone, then we start preparing. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is coming back as a thief in the night, glory to God. We're not going to know about it. We're not going to know when he's knocking on our door. We're not going to have time to get prepared. So we better get prepared now. We better get prepared now. Better get prepared now. I done a little survey in my own mind, never counted. But I thought in the hospital, and I wore my t-shirt, Eternity, that y'all got. Eternity is too long to be wrong. I wore it into the hospital. I didn't wash it. Janet folded it up, and I wore it back out. But I told everybody I seen, everybody stopped long enough to give me a word. I told them about Jesus. And I seen some that loved it. I've seen one or two. One come back and confess to me that he was raised Pentecostal, and he said, I'm out. He said, I'm not going now. But if it hadn't been for what Papa told me, he said, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. Papa told me the right way. I said, bless God, you need to get back in there and start telling somebody else the right way. Amen. Once we've got it and we've got everything we think we need, ain't no time to quit. Honey, when I'm running full force, full pledge, I need to share it with somebody else. I need to stand up where God would have me to stand. Lord, and it was totally amazing. One lady asked Janet, said, is he always like this or is it medicine? I wasn't even on no medicine. Amen. And said, well, he's like this most of the time. Why can't we be happy and content with whatever state we're found in? God is a big God. Honey, your time's coming. Amen. It was a long time before my time come, but it come. I'm glad, glory to God, that God was in the midst. Let me, while we're right here, let me turn over into Isaiah just a little bit and read just a touch of Isaiah 40. It was just a blessing to me. And we mentioned it last week, and you people have been a blessing to me. I've had a phone call or two that just blowed me out of my mind. And I had a visitor too, and I won't go to calling names, I'll mess up, but some things that God has done. Lord have mercy. He said in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, and this is a scripture that he's talking about. So we can't leave the Old Testament out. Amen. Isaiah knew that there was a man named John that was going to come and be a forerunner of Jesus Christ. And what I'm preaching on is prepare to meet thy God. Make his path straight. What did it say? It didn't say for him to make your path straight. He said for you to make his path straight. The verses that they've got on the t-shirt there out of Matthew, what is it? Matthew 7. And it says for us, the path is straight and it's narrow and broad is the way to destruction and many find it. So the Lord said for us to make the path. And John the Baptist come through giving us an example. Amen. Maybe he wasn't dressed so nice. Maybe it was hot in the desert. I've been down in the desert of Judea. Amen. It ain't a place I want to live. It ain't a place I want to camp out. I praise God for the mountaintop where there's running water. Amen. And springs of life. Glory to God. I praise God for it. But he said, comfort ye, ye my people, saith your God. Speak it comfortly. Comfortly to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. That her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord a hand double for all of her sins. And we today, when Jesus Christ forgave us of our sins, he pardoned us a hands double for all of our sins. He forgave us of all of our sins. And he went on to the third verse in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, and he said, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And I thought about today, honey, glory to God, and I thought, and this has hit me. It's hit me full faced. I mean, it's hitting me hard. The Bible said for us to prepare a highway for our God. That's something that you and I can do. He said, prepare a highway for our God. I got the wrong foot. I need to go this way. Amen. Prepare the highway for our God. So what is our testimony in our church services and our enjoyment with God and a smile on our face? And when you see us get up and make a victory lap, or when you see us to go get down in the altar, there's somebody sitting here today saying, I ain't got what she's got. I ain't got what he's got. You know what you're doing? You're preparing the way. You're opening up a way for God. Woo! Glory be unto God. That God is showing us there is no better way, church. That we don't have to go through in sadness, in trouble, in despair, and defeated, and depression. I've never had as many young people to talk to me about depression in their life. Honey, it's a shame. I never knew what depression was growing up. Glory to God, I didn't have time to get depressed. There was always woods to play in, play cowboy, fox and hound. I didn't have time to get depressed. best. I'm going to tell you what the presidents is pushing them little buttons. Sitting in our chair. Glory to God. I need to be out opening up the highway. Preparing a highway for my neighbor to see. There's a reality in serving a living God. That God does take care of His children. That Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father. Whatever my need is, I can just look up and say, Jesus, I need a little help. You'll go to the Father, and He said, that's one of my... Woo! Church, what a God we got today. We need to be praising Him for what He's done for us. God has been good for us. Okay, now, whose opportunity is it to prepare the way? Open up the highway for the Lord. Whose is it? It's mine. God gave me, I remember, I lay there in bed, Melvin, I got to thinking, 51 years ago I had a testimony you couldn't stop. I don't care where I went to prayer meeting. I didn't care if they made fun of me. It didn't make no difference. I testified.
Come on.
They laughed at me.
Yeah.
I've been laughed at all over this country. But God done something in my life. God put a fire in my bones. God done something for me. And it wasn't preaching. It was just testimony. How great God had been. And then I thought going into deaconship and the hardships of everyday walk of life and trying to do to please people and to do the will of God. And some of it got a little harder. And I began to recognize depression and the aggravation. And I even thought about throwing in the towel. I thought, what's the use to go home? Then I look at somebody like a little Jacob, amen, that's never had a great day in his life, glory to God, as far as health goes. It makes me ashamed that I've ever grumbled, that I've ever thought about throwing in the towel, that I've ever thought about quitting making a victory march. It makes me ashamed of myself when I've sat on my hands and I could have been praising God. It makes me ashamed of myself when I could have been into the highways and hedges opening up a door. Glory to God to make the highway straight for my God. Honey, if we'll teach them the word, He said, how can they hear without a preacher? Is not that the word of God? I'm going to tell you, God don't need some educated idiots out here with 5 degrees that don't know their left hand from their right. God needs some men called from on high that understands the power of God and how they got saved. How I got here today is the grace of God. 51 years He brought me down the road. Amen. And I owe it to my God today. Not to Dr. Feelgood or Mrs. Sweetsweet. I owe it to my God today. He is a deliverer. He's a healer. He has fixed me. He's took care of my every need. And I praise Him for it today. Glory be unto God. What God has done for me. So there's something for us to do. God showed me something. God showed me something. Oh, God showed me something. You're saved here today. And I promise you, God showed me some faces. And I laid in bed and cried. And I want you to know right now, the altar's open. That you shut out the Spirit of God. And when you shut out the Spirit of God, you can't open it up for yourself till you get rid of it. Envy and strife. Self-willed. We can't do it. We can't do it. Let me read a little bit of definition about the Pharisees here. We can't do it. Church, the altar's open. You seen them shout, but you couldn't. You know what you done? You said, this ain't my time. This ain't my turn. I will later. This ain't for me. Right now. I've got problems he don't understand. And I wish he'd shut up about his hip. I'm going to talk about it till I die. I'm going to talk about God healing my sinuses till I die.
Amen.
I'm going to talk about in the early 70s, they said I'd never work no more. I'm going to talk about it till I die. Just as long as I got any mind, if them arms are raised in, I'm going to praise God. He's been good to us. He's let us sit in heavenly places here on earth. But the best is yet to come. And He said, the voice of Him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare either way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for my God. Where did it say make a straight path for the Lord? In the desert. You ain't going to be in wetland all the time. You ain't going to be where it's running water and everybody's shouting. Bless God, we need to prepare, tell people to prepare to meet our God. Amen. In the desert. In the desert. I remember He said, bow up like a shrimp. And I bowed up and He said, can you get that shoulder out any faster? And I've done all I can do, jerk it. He jerked it out. And He said, and I don't remember nothing else. And I woke up and the first thing I seen, I know there wasn't in heaven, there's a clock there. And all I could see was that clock. And I twisted trying to see what time it was and how much time I'd lost and where I'd been. Had no idea where I was at. Had no idea. But thank God, there wasn't no fear going in.
No.
I told the doc, I said, I'm in the mercy of God and I'm in your all's hands. I'm in your all's hands. Let me read on. He said, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. That we will see this. And he said back over here in Matthew, and he said, and when he went down to the baptizing, he said, and when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptizing, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee the wrath to come? What I'm preaching on is prepare the way of the Lord. Who have we warned to flee the wrath to come? It's my duty. It's my obligation. I don't care what your denomination is. Bless God. I cut all my other things off, but I wanted to wear this fall risk. The Baptists don't believe this, but I'm at fall risk. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. When you have a little something done in your spiritual body, I'm not talking about this you seeing, but in your spiritual body, when something cuts it or hurts it and you have a problem, and you know, and I loved your nephew. Remember him as a little boy? Why he turned to alcohol, I don't know. I'm going to tell you, I love my son. But I don't know, there was a fall risk somewhere. I remember at one time several making a little profession of faith. Several making a little start. But it comes, if they ain't very careful, it comes a time in their life that there's a fall risk. And I thought about Terry, Michelle, y'all been through a little touch of a fall risk. Can I just use you for just a minute? And several others. Roger, there was a time of just a little fall risk. And I know what it is. You lay there in the hospital and you think, oh, well, he's left me. Where's he at? Where's all the people that he said would be there? Where's all the shouts and where's all the hallelujahs? How about it, Terry? Ain't there a fall risk there? Glory to God, there's a fall risk there. You know, I call for some help. Give me some help. If I'm staggering and stumbling, send me some help. Greg, get up here, will you, honey? Glory to God. I'm going to tell you something. There's a time comes in my life that I just need a little help.
Amen.
Amen. I just need a little, I'm at fall risk. I ain't running full force. I ain't exactly what I'd like to be. I ain't running on two good legs. How about it, Mr. Isom? Hey, man, you've led up there and you've thought about it. Looks like it's about over. All of this that I've got's going away. I'm at fall risk. I'm just before ending up. Glory to God, call for somebody. Hey, man. And the more you can get a hold of you and help you, have at it, Goss. Amen. I know you're a big, old, strong, young, healthy man working every day. But there's a fall risk for us, honey, in our spiritual soul. Let me tell you something. I'd rather fall flat on my face right here in this natural body than to fall one step for the glory of God. God has done something for me. I'm going to cut this off when I get home. The fall risk is going to be over. Spin me a circle, not like we're dancing, but just spin me a circle. Amen. And take me back to my seat. Amen. Glory to God, honey. We need each other. What I'm talking about, you're not always strong, sister. Sister, you're not always strong. And you're not always on top of it. You sat and looked at them blind fools and said, I don't know how I'm going to make tomorrow. I'm not going to God. That God will send a telephone call. Somebody by. God will send a message in our heart that will revive us. God will send somebody to help us along the way. Kathy, no matter what you think, you're going to need Greg. Amen. Glory to God. I thought to myself this morning, I said, I'm too choir to help. Janet put my socks on. She was really working on that right foot. She was really working on it. I said, Mama, let me be honest with you. I said, I'm just too choir to help. I want my sock twisted just a little bit more. I want my sock on right. Nobody sees it, but I want my sock where I want my sock. Amen. I want my soul where God wants my soul. I need to go into the wilderness, into the desert, and preach, prepare you the way of my God. God is going to convict your heart when you get home. If He's not convicting you right now, I need to prepare the way that God will convict your heart when you get home. I got convicted in church. I went home time and time and time, months and months and months, even from a little boy. But God went home with me one night, honey. When they said, I love you, Bill. Amen and glory to God. Conviction come down on my soul. So somebody prepared the way for love to come in. Ooh, I'm about to give out, church. But glory to God, we need to prepare. To keep me in breath, save my life. It's one step at a time. I told you I wanted to read to you about the Pharisees, and I do. And this is just out of the concordance. But it said the Pharisees were correct. And I want you to get this. And it said the Pharisees were moral. We can't say that about Christians today. Amen. We've lost our morals. I thought about the leaders in our Boy Scouts at one time. To be prepared. As time passed, they're letting gay leaders in. Amen. Why is a gay? He ain't looking for a woman. He's after some little boy. How many in some of our church denominations has gay slipped in? If they get saved, they're not gay no more. If you get saved, you're not a drunk no more. If you're really saved, you'll quit cussing. You'll start treating people right. He said they had morals. And he said they were zealous. I've never in my lifetime of 51 years as a Christian seen churches as lazy as they are today. If they're not the one that's getting the recognition, we'll not go. If my name's not on the plate, I won't go. If I ain't on the sign, I'll just back off. That was a Pharisee. And self-denying. The Pharisees would fast, man. They would self-deny their self. Things that they like, they would do without. How about us Baptists? Well, I can't hardly go without a meal. The biggest crying I done at the hospital is, can I have some of you all's coffee. Said, staff, can I have some of you all's coffee? She said, I'll go make you some. But let me tell you about the Pharisees. They were self-righteous. And the Bible said, if we're guilty of one, we're guilty of all, right? And I don't understand how you can treat one brother like a dog and kiss another and slobber all over him the same day. Come on. I don't know how you can cheat your boss man or boss woman or those that rule over you like a dog and go paint a pretty picture to somebody else. Yeah, I do understand. Bless God, you ain't a Christian, you a Pharisee. And I find in the Word of God that the Pharisees caused Jesus more trouble, more trouble than any other religious group. The Sadducees maybe wasn't a sect, but they just didn't believe. They didn't believe in the Spirit and the resurrection. They just didn't believe. But they didn't cause trouble that the Pharisees caused. I want us to listen to what I'm saying today. You're being robbed of the mercy and the grace and the blessings of God because we're only Pharisees. Because we ain't living what God saved us to live. Because we're not being an example. You listen to me. Please listen to me. I've worked men, I've had crews. I had 27 men in one crew when I was with the state. I've worked with some engineers. I've worked in some high places. And I'm going to tell you, God had to be first. And you can ask them from here to Raleigh. When Bill come by, we prayed. I asked the chief engineer, can we pray? We need to pray. They're not my heartbeat. Neighbor, I need to prepare the way of my God. All right, if I borrow money off of Gary Mitchell and don't pay him back, he's really going to enjoy my preaching. I'm going to tell you what's going to come in his mind every time I speak. Sucker won't even pay me. Amen. How about them that was supposed to take 30 minutes for dinner took 2 hours? I got a call this week and one said, Bill, take care of yourself. They said, you have an excuse now. Use it. Did I have an excuse not to be here this morning? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Why pray for 3 days, God, let me preach one more time and then use my excuse I'm hurting? I hope I've not bored you. But God sent us a message that we need to prepare the way of our God in the desert. In the desert. Make a highway straight. Make a highway straight. I'm going to read this to John. Butch is going to teach us if he ever gets back. But I've got it on my heart, so I'm going to teach 3 verses. And if y'all's mind's like mine, you'll forget it before he teaches anyway. But in St. John, 1st chapter and the 6th verse, it said, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. We heard it prophesied in Isaiah.
Yes, sir.
We heard it taking place in Matthew. Whew. And here we hear the after effects. And he said, there was a man whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, which is Jesus, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. I want us to go there for just a minute. Too many times we, the preacher, think we're the light.
Yes, sir.
Honey, if the Spirit of God is gone from me, I need to be under the church, begging the presence of God to come back in my life. I'm going to say one more time. I've got to say this one more time. There's a block in your life. And if three or four would come at the same time, it wouldn't look bad on nobody. But there's a block in our life that's keeping us from receiving what God wants us to receive. And we justified ourselves in it and say, this is all right. That'll be all right. I've justified myself. I know how.
Yeah,
I've said this is all right. I don't have to do. I don't have to go. I can be a little different. But it's blocking the reality of God. And it's stopping us from really enjoying God. Church is a burden. I've heard more in the last 5 or 6 months, I guess. Why we don't go to church is because of this one and because of that one. And I don't like the way they do this, and I don't like the way they do that. I'm going to tell you the worst service that I've ever been in church, is going to be the very best thing I can happen in hell. Come on, church. If my God set up the church, it's important. If it was important enough for us to know that John's diet was wild honey and locusts, if it was important enough to know, glory to God, it's important. It's important. I believe what he was saying there, in the long run, the man didn't have nothing. He grabbed up, he left home. What he had on, I don't see where he had a suitcase. Don't see where he had a big billfold. But I seen him heading down through the desert. And I see the Pharisees. And I seen them from Jerusalem. And they begin to come. Somebody had heard about a man out there. Looked like a wild man.
Yes.
But he's preaching, prepare you the way. Repent. Prepare you the way of the Lord.
Amen.
Straight is the path. Amen. And it got somebody's attention. If today our attention span is short, we'll remember Jacob for a day or two, and we'll think, one called me last night and said, I don't believe I'll ever complain again. He will.
Yeah.
Just like I will.
Amen.
But we need to remember what John done for us in the wilderness. He told us to prepare the way. And that's not changed. You think everybody knows the gospel? This is a simple message. Simple enough for John to preach, and it was simple enough for me. I promise you all, from the depths of my heart, I got this before I went in the hospital. I got this on back yonder two or three days before they called me and said they wanted to update my... God knows what he's doing, Greg. I didn't go into surgery worrying about a message. God had done sent one several days before.
Thank you, Lord.
I had to go read it. That's just my God. That's just my God. I want to go back one more time. Please don't let that hardened heart stop you. Church, I preached out of 2 Corinthians the other Wednesday night that if I bring sorrow to you all are my joy. I don't want to bring sorrow to you. I don't. But if we don't get that hardness out of our heart, we're nothing but a stumbling block.
Amen.
To our families, to our church, to our classes, our young people. Our young people are doing great. God, help me not to get nothing in my heart that would stumble them,
Amen. That
would hinder them along the way. If you will, Johnny, get us an invitation, Melody.